heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
Do you remember back in Seattle when they had the Chaz group there? The Chaz, they kind of cut off part of the city, and that became quite the scandal nationally. And then, of course, they called it CHOP, and they kept changing the name as they go. And they actually, in that particular case, took a city hostage. That was blatant in our face right there. But then we started to see the unrest in a lot of cities. I mean, we've seen it in Portland, Oregon, for sure. We've seen it in Los Angeles, Chicago, New York. I mean, too many to mention, really, from sea to shining sea, as we always say. And that was the signs that, you know, our cities, the vandalism, you seen things burning down and all, and was far more advanced than what we experienced in when Ferguson had happened. This whole thing with George Floyd really, really blew up. And of course, there were a lot of false narratives, as there always are with these kinds of stories. But here's what I want to pose to you today. You'd almost forget when that happened. I mean, this was a recent event, and I bet you, like I, have a hard time thinking that was in recent times. I mean, so much has happened, so much news, that it's like, it seemed like a bygone era somewhere, like another lifetime somewhere when all that happened. And yet it was just a short time ago. And what I bring you to there is that point is, you know what? We have short memories in this country, very short memories. And this is a real problem for us. I really believe the short memories is an issue, because what happens, there's so much more coming down the pike. And then we move forward with, listen, the next crisis, the next challenge, whatever it may be. And we're dealing with whatever that crisis is, your challenge. And of course, COVID has changed the entire landscape. But then again, so has this election, hasn't it now? And so then you see where we sit now. Now we're dealing with other kinds of problems. And we forget all of those problems. But those problems were never fixed. Those problems are still there. And whether or not they're, you know, oftentimes they're just below the radar, but they're still tearing at the fabric of America. They're still playing with us in ways that we don't want. So listen, this is a big talk I want to have with here. And it's a multifaceted talk here with some very interesting people. But it is really, to me, about the selling out of America to the bad guys. And that is a two-part series I'd like to bring to you here, and starting with this erosion of American interest and also companies we probably shouldn't be doing business with. But oftentimes it becomes convenient because it's right there at the corner, or it's convenient to get a hold of Amazon, or it's convenient to go get the cappuccino, or whatever it might be. It doesn't matter. I mean, evil interest in these corporations that you're probably not as aware of when you go to take your wallet out or your pocketbook and you put your hard-earned money down and say, okay, we'll take that. And do you really know where they're putting their money after you give it to them, what they do with it? And it's kind of a circular effect, because a lot of the times they're doing things that you have not only no idea of, but that are absolutely not in your self-interest, and certainly not in the self-interest of your families and your friends and those who you love. And this is a real problem in our country. In fact, it's the core of the problem. I'm talking a bigger problem here in program than you think. I'm talking technology. I'm talking Apple and Google. I'm talking about Amazon. I'm talking about all of that, Microsoft. I'm talking about all of these people as well. It's almost like, you know, it's like sleeping with the enemy. Do we really know who we're doing business with? And do they have our self-interest at heart? Now, that shouldn't be a complicated equation to put out there, quandary to say, you know, do we know the kinds of people we're doing business with? And we really need to know that. So that's what I'd like to peel here in the next couple of episodes with you, and talk about this in a way that makes sense. And, you know, another question I want you to be thinking of remains: how do you enforce justice when rogue legislators, and these are the people you hire who work for you out there, by the way, for we the people, your mayors, your governors, but how do we enforce justice when these rogue politicians and legislators join forces with the criminal elements of society? I mean, think about that a minute, will you? You know, they give them a license, just a green light of destruction against everything that is important to you in a civil life. I mean, against law and order, innocent bystanders. I mean, I'm sure you've seen the videos where they stop the cars in the intersection and take the people right out of the door. And this happens in America. This is not some of the third world country this is happening in, people. This is happening right here. Or the times that they go into a restaurant or some public place and they put their fist up in your face and tell you, you will oblige, you will do what they say or else. That's happening right here in America. That's not a third world country. And then you see, you take a look at the kind of political leaders we're hiring into office all the way up the food chain. And you want to begin to say, what's happening to America? I don't recognize the country anymore. Well, it starts here, people, because everything is funded. You know how they always say, follow the money, follow the money. How many times have you heard that in your life? Follow the money. Three words, but those are three powerful words, because when you follow the money, we're almost always going to have egg on our face. There's a lot of people in high places that do not have our best interest at heart. And it's a sad reality we're facing, and it's the erosion of America, but more it's the selling out of America. And there are people that we need to be careful of. So let's start the program here, and I want to bring on Dr. Ron Martinelli to start us off here. Let me tell you about Dr. Ron a moment here. He's a retired police detective. He's a forensic criminologist, a political analyst. You see him on the national airwaves all the time. He's a contributor to the One America News Network, host of Talking While Married on America Out Loud Talk Radio, by the way. He wrote the best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. So he's been heavily, heavily entrenched into all of this for some time and understands the facts and the data and all of that. So it's hard sometimes to have these kinds of conversations and not alienate some people or think that we're playing partisan politics. And I don't really want to do that here. But what I want people to understand is, why should people out there, that a lot of people don't understand really who Black Lives Matter is. And the more you research this and the more you find out that it's not really anything about Black Lives Matter. It is a Marxist movement. That's been the argument of where the rubber meets the road, if you will. But that's really the conversation, including them and Antifa, the kind of harm and the distrust and the way they've terrorized our cities and the way they've terrorized people. And I think a lot of people think that, you know, this is some good group and corporations are giving their money and they were proudly putting messages out there like, say, hey, we support this group. But I want you to tell people right now, why should we not support the Antifa people and Black Lives Matter people? And who are they exactly, Ron?
Well, wow, that's a great introduction. Thank you very much. I mean, to get right to the point, and none of this has been disavowed by the three founding members of the Black Lives Matter movement, Opal Tomati, Patrice Cullors, and Alicia Garza, who I write about extensively in the book. And the movement is broken down a couple of different ways. You have the founding members of the movement, who I just identified. They are all avowed Marxists. So if you go onto their websites, if you study their videos, their speeches, their tweets and Facebook entries, you will see that they readily identify with Marxism and also Black nationalism. The next level is the individual city chapters. So in most of your major cities, you know, your New York cities, your Detroit, your Philadelphias, your St. Louis, your Los Angeles, et cetera, you are going to see that there are presidents of those chapters. And so far, universally, all of the chapter presidents in some type of communication, be it verbal or electronic via social media, have all avowed, again, that the movement is Marxist-based. And so Then we have the followers, you know, the soldiers. And on that level, you've got some conflict there, because you've got the, you know, naive, uneducated, and I don't mean that they're lacking a university or a college degree. I mean that they're uninformed and they're ignorant about the realities, the factual realities of what Black Lives Matter talks all about. And they are the new generations of what I refer to as social justice warriors. And I called them, you know, Instagram warriors as well. And I've seen this personally. I've been to where the protests are with Black Lives Matter personally. I've watched the protests, and you will see scores of people as they're marching down the street doing a selfie video that they post on YouTube or Instagram, because they want to document the fact that they are social justice warriors. But they really add nothing to the discussion. And so if the discussion is to save Black lives, how are they doing that? And I would, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement is funded, immensely funded now. And even when I wrote my book just a couple of years ago, even I never anticipated that the corporate world would suddenly resonate with and gravitate towards the Black Lives Matter movement. And I think they do this mistakenly, because they want to speak to their financial base, the people that support these corporations. You did a pretty good job naming them. But what has happened is now we have somewhere between a half a billion and $1 billion in the coffers of Black Lives Matter. And the Black Lives Matter movement, to date, to my knowledge, has never given one red cent to any of the so-called, you know, social justice victims of, you know, alleged police brutality. That's not where the money is going. The money is going back into the leaders of the Black Lives Matter movement, their media, consultants, the people that help them keep their message out on social media, which again gets more members and gets more funding. So, but none of this has to do with Black lives, you know, being victimized by the government and by police authority.
Now, Ron, you described BLM there. Now, take a moment here before I get to the corporate point I want to talk about, and let's discuss Antifa for a moment. And what the visuals I'm thinking in my mind, Ron, are where they're putting these masks all over their faces. They're putting these, they're typically like normally what, black mask and that sort of thing. They've got weapons, Molotov cocktails are very normal for these people. And they go after citizens. I mean, I've seen them pull people right out of the cars and beat them up pretty good in intersections. They're vandalizing buildings. Talk about this group, please.
Well, sure. And I've lectured extensively and written about this in law enforcement and forensic circles. People are having, for some reason, they're having a hard time wrapping their arms around the fact that Antifa, which is supposed to stand for anti-fascism, is actually what I refer to as the new Nazi movement of our generation. And I'll say it again. They are Nazis, and they don't confuse National Socialism. You know, you have to go back into your history prior to World War II and during World War II. This was a National Socialist Workers' Party, and in German, that's what the acronym Nazi, N-A-Z-I, stands for. This group mirrors the black shirt fascists of Benito Mussolini during the 30s, and the National Socialists, which are the brown shirts, which were the Nazis. Everything that they speak to and all of their behaviors are consistent with the National Socialism and the Italian fascisti, or the fascist movement. And so what they purport to be is anti-fascist when they are actually wolves in sheep clothing, and they are the new fascists, not only in America, but internationally. People have to remember that this is not an American movement. It is a European movement that has moved to the United States.
So here we are, Ron, we're talking about racism in America again. Now, the left, it has always been a political argument they've used in its gory details as they can. And these organizations we're talking about, BLM, Black Lives Matter, and Antifa, are exactly the opposite of what they are purporting out there. So they put a brand out there, like you say, anti-fascists, like we are against all of that, and Black Lives Matter, like they really do matter. And yet it's a direct opposite. It's about the biggest bait and switch you could ever have. They seem to be elevating racism. They seem to be all about that. In fact, this whole white privilege thing comes from that. But then all these corporations, Ron, that are what I'm wondering, you mentioned earlier, is it intentional? I mean, when these companies invest millions and millions in me, and I'm going to tell you in a minute some of the list of names I'm seeing here, but are they aware of the kind of money? I mean, that's really the question Americans need to know and understand. Do these companies, is this an accident? Is it an innocent mistake? Do they not know who they're giving millions of dollars to? Or do they know who the hell these groups are, I wonder?
First of all, they know about the movements, but they don't have the knowledge and they are ignorant of the internal ideology. You know, they see the media portrayal of Black Lives Matter. Okay, so most of these corporations gravitate and are financially supporting the BLM. And what they and the people that run these corporations and the people that make the decisions are relatively young people, even the CEOs. I mean, you take a look at Jeff Bezos of Amazon. He's a relatively young man, and he is ignorant of history, and nobody has researched these groups. They first of all, they don't have time to, and they don't want to, but there is such a social media following for Black Lives Matter that they want to attract that base, but they're extremely ignorant, but they also censure. So, you know, people can, you know, like Antifa, Black Lives Matter, a lot of rhetoric out there. You can't look at the rhetoric. You have to look at the behavior, because the behavior betrays and identifies what they're really all about. So with Jeff Bezos, it's about censorship. It's about major corporate financing of Black Lives Matter. And then anybody that will speak the truth, like myself, my book, if you go to Amazon and you look up The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, you will see my book there, but it says unavailable. That doesn't mean my book is unavailable. What it really means is that Jeff Bezos took my book off the shelves. And he actually did me a favor, because that book has been selling more than ever. We're in our seventh print, thanks to America Out Loud's bookstore and also my forensic website at drronmartinelli.com. And that's what they're doing. They're censoring.
But Ron, that book was there, correct me on this now, for some years. It was there for a couple of years, a while, a long time, right? Before they...
I wrote the book 3 years ago.
Right.
So it came out. Yeah, it came out in 2017,
right,
and sold wildly. And then and it had been selling very well.
But it was on Amazon all that time. Is that what I asked?
All that time, and it was selling well.
Right.
But here's the change. Once Bezos made a corporate decision to financially and publicly support the BLM, that week, my book disappeared.
Well, didn't that all happen when George Floyd blew up? Is that when that sort of happened?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was right around that same time during that same month.
Because it was no longer fashionable to go against this Marxist group, BLM.
Yeah, but you know what the interesting thing, the ironic thing is that none of the founders of the Black Lives Matter movement or any of the presidents of any of the chapters or really anybody from BLM have ever criticized the book. They've never argued what I talk about in the book, because the book thoroughly quotes them. It's a factual book. Right. It's not an opinion book. If you want to learn all about the Black Lives Matter movement, the founding, the organization, the funding, what their goals and objectives are, that's a resource book. And they can't argue that, because a lot of that book information is taken off their websites and off their speeches and videos. But, you know, let me switch over to Antifa. I'm not seeing as much corporate resonance with Antifa, because Antifa, like I said, is the new Nazi movement. You know, I equate the behavior of going into downtown areas with blackface, which is what they do. You know, they black out. It's called blackout. It comes from Europe. That's all the black clothing and why they wear the black masks and why they dress in black. They do that to try to enhance their anonymity so they can't be identified by police because they all look the same. And so that tactic, that strategy was developed years ago in Europe. But when they go down, Malcolm, and they go downtown and they smash all the windows and they destroy police cars and they do this, there is no difference between that behavior and going back to pre-World War II history with the brown shirts, the SS, and that was called Kristallnacht. We're not talking about Jews here, which was what Kristallnacht was all about. We're talking about the destruction and the breaking down of a government. So Antifa is all about the destruction of democracy and our democratic society. They're closer to anarchists, but they are certainly anti-democratic. This is where they join with Black Lives Matter, because Black Lives Matter is a Marxist group. They are an anti-democratic society and structure group. They are a black nationalist separatist group. And because both Antifa and Black Lives Matter, their end goal is to destroy the American Republic, the democratic society, that's why they can get together and not conflict with each other.
Yeah. Now, what you say, I mean, I get it. I think everybody can understand what you're saying. But there's a couple of challenges in here. Number one, I'm still wondering with these companies. I'll give you an example here. I have a list. There's a conservative site, Ron, called Conservative Fire and Line. And there was a post put back in June, a list of 269 companies supporting Antifa and Black Lives Matter. And they listed them right out there. And I mean, there's quite a few here. And I've seen a lot of these, and I've seen their campaigns, like 23andMe, Alaska Airlines, Airbnb, Adidas. You've heard a lot of these. American Express, American Apparel.
Oh, sure. PetSmart, all sorts of.
Barnes & Noble. I mean, there's a boatload of these things here. I mean, they're everywhere. Ben & Jerry's, of course, we know who they are.
Of course.
And but you've got a whole bunch of them here.
And you know, Malcolm, bringing up one side thing, what I'm seeing in some of the corporations is extortion and intimidation.
Okay.
That's why they put out a Black Lives Matter sign in front of their store, because they don't want their store, you know, destroyed by Black Lives Matter or Antifa during these, you know, these riots and these protests.
All right. So they believe that's the better course of direction than to alienate the customers or the patrons, right?
Yeah, but they really don't understand the organizations, because the organizations don't care. The organization's overall goal is the destruction of a democratic society. And so that's what they're all about. They're not about black lives or social justice whatsoever.
Right. So, Ron, you're convinced, I'm guessing from what you're saying now, and I wasn't sure of this, actually, but you're pretty convinced now, sounds to me like, that these corporations are doing this unwillingly. They really don't know how serious this, they don't know how serious or how evil these organizations, groups, and what their ultimate goal is. Is that right?
No, I absolutely agree. You have the CEOs, which are a little bit older. They tend to be in their late 30s and early 40s. I mean, just look at Twitter, just look at Facebook, look at Google, and tell me how old, you know, Zuckerberg and those guys are. I mean, they're all in their 30s and early 40s. They don't have any idea of history. They haven't delved into the intricacies of Black Lives Matter or the Antifa movement. They can't tell you anything about their history, their organization. And so they just go with what they see in social media, and they finance these groups to speak to their base and try to bring in more business. But there's such conflict with other people that are libertarians, moderates, and conservatives. You know, they don't want to fund these major companies because it's actually the antithesis of, you know, what Americans believe in, and that's a republic and a democratic society.
So is it a matter of just educating these executives? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, it's multiphasic. Yes, I would say on its face, you have to educate these executives and the decision makers, the people that create policy and sign checks. But, you know, in a much greater light, if you want to stop this, you have to go back to educating the youth. And you know, I mean, that's a whole separate discussion, Malcolm.
Good luck with that.
No, it took 40 years. People have to understand this. To get where we are today, we're 58% of the population under at the university and through high school, but you know, resonate with socialism rather than capitalism and democracy. It took 40 years for us to de-educate these people.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, many experts I speak about say at minimum the last two and probably the last three generations have been indoctrinated to the discussion that we're having right now.
Oh, no, it's as a person, you know, that has been an instructor, adjunct professor, a division dean since 1977, you know, I can absolutely tell you that one of the major problems that the United States government is going to have to deal with in its Department of Education is, you know, reimagining education and bringing civics and international relations and constitutional law back in the classroom, and then completely disavowing revisionist history. And I don't know if that's going to happen because the teachers' union control everything that happens at the state, at the local, state, and federal level.
Yeah, that's a tall order. And there doesn't seem to be any signs that I'm seeing, even early signs that that is happening or in play here. And I've been talking to universities in recent days and weeks and professors and they are on a track here. And they are, in fact, I had somebody on Viewpoint this past weekend. In fact, somebody who graduated from Berkeley. He now works as a reporter for the Daily Caller, in fact, Ron. And he said how bad it is at the university level and the kinds of things they're preaching there and how ignorant and bogus the professors are in what they're pushing on the populace there at the university level. He talked about all that on the program. It's pretty serious stuff, and I don't think it's a quick fix.
Well, you know, I'm kind of hoping, in short, that because of the COVID and these university and college students having to stay home and do Zoom classes, that they're going to realize that they're paying tens of thousands of dollars for basically a useless education. And, you know, hopefully we'll see, you know, some defunding of these universities, which have become so powerful.
Oh, I like that, what you just say there. So instead of defund the police, it should be defund the universities, yeah?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the United States government shouldn't give any money in to colleges and universities where the primary ideology that is taught to students is socialism and Marxism.
I love it. There's one takeaway right there for your listeners right there. Defund the universities, not the police there. That'll put their asses in the paddy wagon, won't it, now, real quick? You know, and that'll fix them real quick. All right, so, Ron, with all of this now, and the university education piece, I'm glad we touched on it. It's there. We put that to the side because, as you say, it's multi-generational. It's a tall order. We know it's got to be handled here because it's really the corrosion of, and I talk about it all the time, future generations are being gambled away right now based on how off the path we are here in America. But let's take a look at some of these politicians, Ron. For instance, some of these local little Marxist mayors, like Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin, sometimes often called Jenny Dirtbag, in fact, or Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler. We've got a whole bunch of names for these people, but let me just get to it. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti. And there's a whole bunch more of these cats where they come from, including one of the more popular ones, de Blasio from New York. You wonder how these people are. And look at what they've done to these cities. When you take a look at Seattle, Portland, Chicago, Los Angeles, New York, this really tears me apart, the destruction of great American cities. And I've said before, Ron, there is no Make America Great Again or any part of it without great American cities. The destruction of American cities are the destruction of the fabric of America. And it's the tearing down of our civil society and of our life that is happening right in daylight right now. So when we talk about corporations, let's keep corporations here to the front center here, Ron. And then you take a look at these mayors. So here's the question I would ask you now. Do these little Marxist mayors, are they part of this this whole conspiracy here? Or do they know who Black Lives Matter and Antifa is? Or do they understand what they're dealing with? Or are they as naive as what you've suggested some of the corporate people are?
Well, that's a really good question. And my answer is that it depends on the individual mayor. So you take a look at the difference, even though there are so many similarities in the way they run their different cities into the ground. But just to compare and contrast Seattle versus Portland, which I know a lot about, the mayor in Seattle is just plainly ignorant of Black Lives Matter and Antifa. She has no idea about the things that we're talking about right now. If she heard this radio program, she would probably be shocked. On the other hand, if you take a look at Ted Wheeler, and I used to be the law enforcement practices expert for the city of Portland for many years and was very successful in that position. When Ted Wheeler came in, I basically resigned because he's a pro-Antifa person. He does know about Antifa. So he is an educated person with regards to the goals and objectives of Antifa. And so he has no excuse. But both mayors have wanted to defund their law enforcement agencies. Both mayors have cities that are out of control and quickly becoming, third world cesspools. And you have significant political strife in both of those cities. So I'll give you a great example, and you know this name, Christopher Rufo. He's an up-and-coming journalist, but he's from Seattle, and he decided that he was going to run for city council, and he'd been very critical of the way that the mayor and the city council ran their city. They basically chased him out of town, and they threatened him and his family with violence. So he dropped his candidacy. I mean, that's absolutely horrible. And what happens is you take a look at the corporations that have invested tens of millions, if not billions of dollars, and they're moving out of these cities. If you take a look at Boeing, they're moving out. Boeing is moving out of Seattle, and they're taking tens of thousands of jobs with them. You take a look at some of the insurance companies that have been in Portland. They're moving out of that city. If you take a look at San Jose in Silicon Valley, Hewlett-Packard, which was the very first outside of IBM, the very first major technological corporation in Silicon Valley, they're moving out and they're moving to Texas. And so obviously their corporate structure is a little bit older. And so those men and women get it. And they're not going to continue to invest hundreds of millions and billions of dollars in cities that are in degrade.
Yeah. It's a quandary that it's hard to address in simple terms here on this broadcast here. I mean, we've already identified the challenges of the education system, but this is another one right here, Ron, because, when you look at some of those futuristic movies and you see some of those barren ridden cities that once were grand and sparkled like, and now they're, they're disparate, despondent. They're barren. They look like hell holes. Certainly more like beyond third world countries. And it's kind of where some of our cities are headed, isn't it?
Well, it really is. I was born and raised in the city of San Francisco, which was an absolutely gorgeous, very tourist-friendly city. And I had contracts with the city for, 25 years. And the city started, developing this socialist Marxist political structure. And it became so oppressive and woke that, I pulled out. And after the death of Kate Steinle, I completely boycotted the city. And every once in a while, I'll get an invitation to come to speak before a conference, a law enforcement or forensic conference in the city. And I turn them down and I'm saying, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do any business with the city of San Francisco. That city is in horrible state. And if you take a look at these Democratic cities across these major urban areas across the nation, you see, and especially with the ones that resonate with Black Lives Matter and defund the police. The police are leaving. They're retiring early. They're leaving by the scores, if not the hundreds. And the crime rate is through the roof. It's absolutely disgraceful what has happened to these major, once beautiful American cities.
That's all right. Let me get to the crux of the problem, challenge we have right now, Ron, and then it's this here now. I call this the selling out of America to the bad guys. And there's a couple of levels this is happening here in our country. I mean, this is one of the levels right here. And so what is the answer now? Because we have all these various corporations. I mean, to me, we've got a, what I'm thinking, Ron, is, and I've said this before on air, I've warned listeners and I've told people that we need to stop doing business with those corporations that are doing, that are supporting the bad guys that are trying to destroy the fabric of America. And this is on a couple of levels, because in the second part of the series, I want to talk about foreign interest and how that's happening around the world, how they're selling us out around the globe. But right here, because this is really the decimation of America we're speaking about right here. But I mean, this is really what, this is the biggest conversation we should be having in our country right now. So what do you think, what is the answer, the short answer to, I think we've got to start to defund the corporations. We got to hit them in the pocketbook. We got to hit them with the shareholders. I mean, if they start to see those dollars plummet and they see, well, you see, Americans don't like what's happening here. They're not buying your crap. Because you're supporting X, Y, and Z. Isn't that the answer?
Oh, I think it is. You know, first of all, everybody has to understand that everything that's happening in the United States is based on a couple of things. Number one, power. Number two, money. And the more money, the more power. And you see the United States of America changing dramatically. And one of the reasons that it's changing dramatically, of course, we talked about education, but the enormous amount of black funding and out-of-country funding pouring into the United States and in supporting these political parties and some of these politicians. But whether it's a corporation or a municipality, I agree with you 100%. The way that you hit them is in the pocketbook. And a couple of great examples that the American public have really sent some shockwaves into is the National Football League is a big one that has seen such downturn in revenue. And that's outside of the people can't go to the stadiums because of COVID. The people are boycotting. They're turning off the television. They're not watching the NFL. And because I don't want to see people take knees and disgrace the American anthem, the national anthem. Right. And they're not buying their products. And that's where you hit them. Another big company is Nike. So when they brought in Colin Kaepernick, you know, the former 49er, who is huge in the Black Lives Matter movement. And they went, you know, they went with him as a major endorser. They lost $250 million in just their first half fiscal year. And that's the way you got to hit them. But you have to keep the pressure on. You can't relieve it. And you can't go with convenience. You know, I used to love to watch NFL. I haven't watched NFL since Colin Kaepernick took a knee. And then the NFL supported him. And so that's the way you really have to be. Unfortunately, you know, some of these corporations have, you know, weaved their way into our life. Amazon is a great example. Because of, you know, the convenience of Amazon, it's hard to say, well, I'm going to avoid Amazon. But, you know, places like PetSmart, hell, there's other places I can take my dog. I'm not going to fund them. Ben and Jerry's, hey, there's plenty of ice cream companies that I can buy ice cream from. You know, you get it.
Dr. Ron Martinelli, now his book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, is indeed available on the America Out Loud bookstore. We got to make some decisions here, okay? I started this and I said to you, follow the money. I mean, there's no better way to say it than follow the money, because everything that we're talking about here is all about a money trail, because it's all about greed. It really is. That's all it is in this country. People sell themselves out for anything. And I hate to say it, but it's a fact, people. Our politicians do it every hour of every day. And so does corporate America and corporate anything else. They don't give a rat's ass. As long as it lines their pockets and their stuff, then they're happy. The country can go to hell in a handbag as far as they're concerned. But then who's going to get hurt? It's going to be the rest of you out on the streets. People, real people like you and I. Well, listen, we're going to take a pause here. Up next, have some interesting gentlemen I want to introduce you to with an idea, possibly, that might be a part of an answer to some of this. I think we've already addressed a couple of bigger problems that Dr. Ron just put out there. Certainly, our education system is one of them, but there's more than that. You know, electing the right people to office would be another start, you see, and making them responsible. So, anyways, let's take a pause here. We'll be back with more Voice of a Nation in just a moment.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
On June 8th, 2020 here, this past year, the Financial Times newspaper had identified, listen to this now, 450 million that they had pledged companies, specific ones, to Black Lives Matter affiliated organizations. Now we're talking $500 million. And that is only what they know of. Imagine how much they don't know of. And they're flush with cash, which is why you know why a lot of these riots and protests you're seeing where they're organized, where they all have phones and they have everything being wired and they've got pallets of things being bought out and Molotov cocktails being thrown out. Where's that money come from? Well, there's your answer right there. So we're talking at least, again, this is the Financial Times, June 2020. I mean, we're talking, it's some serious money, people. We're talking $500 million. And that's only the tip of whatever we know of. How much don't we know? It's a question you really do need to ask yourself. And they go on to say, by the way, the Financial Times, I love this, iconic American brands. Isn't it always iconic American brands that are trying to screw as one over the cuckoo's nest, really? You know, companies like, they say, from Facebook to Apple, have pledged financial support for this, for these Marxist groups. Corporations like Airbnb, you know, the travel people. Not only were they spying on you when you rent those places and what have you, but they're giving money to the enemy, right? They gave about $500,000. There's some serious money there. Amazon, of course, how much they've given. They're suggesting about $700,000 here. Apple, Ben & Jerry's, Away Luggage. I've never heard of that one, Away Luggage. Nike, you know, I was telling my son the other day, we were shopping for some shoes and I told him to stay away from Nike. I said, pick something else out. You know, I think he went with New Balance or something else. I don't know. But, you know, YouTube, Twitter, we know they're all over it as well. And more than 100 companies that they put in that report that the Financial Times reported on. So I'm here to tell you that we have got to start to pay attention. I mean, and I've started to do that in my own life. So I'm saying, you know, it's one thing we all go around, you know, griping and bitching, what have you. And then, you know, it's the old saying about throwing rocks at glass houses, right? I mean, we all need to do a better job at knowing where we spend our money. So I think the next time we take out our wallet, you know, do we know who we're doing business with? And I'm starting to think that way in a lot of ways. I mean, not just with companies like I just mentioned to you, including Amazon. I mean, I know they're a gazillion. They're one of the largest. Well, I think they are the largest, actually, company. I mean, they battle with Apple all the time of being, you know, one of the largest companies in our country. And they're global companies, by the way, which is part of the problem. Also, is a lot of this money goes out the door globally as well. So anyways, a lot to talk about here. I'm going to introduce you to a couple of gentlemen now to bring this conversation a little bit further about these dollars. And, you know, we started thinking, and I found these guys, we were thinking about how could we tell Americans, how could we warn people, like, where who to do business with? I was thinking, could there be a national database of some sort or something where it might encourage us to do business with these kinds of people because of this particular because maybe they have the same values we have. They have American values, or they're not selling out to the Marxist groups or selling out to China or selling out to some globalists, you know, whatever. Makes sense. Let me bring on now and introduce you to Alan Weider here. And Alan is he's in sales, marketing, and real estate. He's one of the founders of this Shop to the Right. I will tell you about in a moment here. Alan is, and I love this, he's an active duty volunteer firefighter and a staunch supporter of law enforcement and our country's great veterans. And that's a great setup to talk about what we want to talk about here, Alan. Which is a lot of these brands and the dollars. So we're thinking about a national database. Could there be a national database? Could people go comfortably in the comfortable of their own homes and businesses to see who are the people we need to be doing business with? And how do we get that across of America? And it sounds like you guys have an idea that you're building on. What do you think about this national database? Can it work, Alan?
It definitely can work. As you mentioned, we were looking at what was going on over the past few months since COVID started, there's a lot of craziness out there, a lot of people telling you where to shop and what to do. And we were trying to come up with a way for average American folk to support companies that are going to turn around and support them right back at them. So we have started what we plan to be a nationwide directory of businesses that are going to support American values, support law enforcement, are not going to turn around and give your hard-earned money, which is their profits, to companies or causes that are against our moral fibers. And we definitely think it's very doable. Yes, we're excited about this idea. We think this is a great way of giving back. And we're building up a new directory. We're adding new companies every day. This is going to be a directory of businesses, a great place to shop. And while you shop, you get the good feeling knowing not only are you shopping and spending your money with companies that are out there every day. These are not more expensive companies. These are regular companies. Mm-hmm. But you are supporting America and you're supporting your American neighbors while you shop.
So this is one of these ideas where you put your money where your mouth is kind of thing, which we all should really be doing, Alan, as Americans. I mean, we should know where we spend our money. I mean, to think that a lot of the money we're spending with these companies, they're turning around and giving it to people who are burning down our businesses. Think about how sick that is, huh?
It really is, because obviously everyone wants to get the nicest new shoes, but you don't have to tarnish your soul while you shop. There are ways without spending more money. There are ways without being inconvenienced to shop like you regularly do. But with companies that are not going to turn around and destroy America. And we have to think about that. You know, they call us the silent majority. And obviously your platform is America Out Loud, right? It's time to stop being silent. That's not a call to arms, but that is a call to do something. And you can definitely do something with your wallet.
Yeah, I like what you say when you talk about tarnishing your soul, that you can actually shop without doing that, number one. And number two, no, it is time we all get out loud. Let me bring on another gentleman with us as well, because this, and as I understand, Alan, this initial idea came from Ken Manny, and I want to bring Ken on now to the program as well here. And now Ken is a CPA from New York City, resides in Pennsylvania now. And Ken, this whole concept of the idea of the nationwide database, I mean, is there? I don't think there's anything like this out there. Certainly, I'm not aware of it if there is. But this whole concept, the tipping point that happened that where you said, oh, my God, we got to do something. And what do we do here?
This idea was born in the summer. I kept hearing again and again of various companies supporting Black Lives Matter as they burned our cities down. And I kept thinking there has to be a way to fight back. The everyday American can't possibly want this to continue going on. And then people started losing their jobs simply for standing up and saying this is wrong. And there are numerous such examples of individuals being canceled. And I thought, what if we could create a site where people could anonymously talk through the use of their wallets to stop supporting companies who were supporting those that were burning down our country? And from there came the idea of Shop to the Right.
You know, Ken, when you think about the decimation that's going on right now with small business across our country, and I'm just thinking here out loud with you, which is what I always do, by the way. But, you know, when you think about the devastation that COVID has had on small business from coast to coast, really, and how they've decimated the small business community in a really interesting way, this kind of a concept could really highlight small business, I'm guessing, especially when I come across and I give some of the names like I just mentioned in that Financial Times article in just in June here this past year. We're talking about some pretty powerful brands, but this would be a big way to elevate some of those brands. How does somebody go about getting, I mean, first of all, for them to list their business with shoptotheright.com, does it cost them money? Is it free? What are they got to do? Do they have to walk on hot coals? How do they get there?
It's super easy for people to sign up. We're going to, like I said, have a nationwide directory. So businesses, whether you have a small shop or you have a large online e-commerce business, mm-hmm. you can simply go to our website. It's free to sign up. We have different levels of membership. If you want to feature certain things, you can pay for certain benefits, but to just sign up is free. You'll have nationwide exposure to consumers, and not only to regular consumers, but to consumers that are going to enjoy shopping and enjoy supporting what you're trying to put out there. And I'll let you continue, Ken, on that.
So, Malcolm, yes, I mean, the entire concept of non-essential businesses, that is just really novel. To me, the only non-essential business might be Congress. These businesses certainly are essential to the owners and the people operating these businesses, their lives and their livelihood. So you're absolutely right. We're going to equal the playing field by allowing small companies access to a larger volume of the market, allowing them therefore to grow through online shipping, which is the great equalizer. And we all know commerce is moving in that direction anyway. So far, the pandemic has done nothing but, you know, help the monster in Amazon continue to That's grow it. Out of control.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I'm seeing more and more of that, Ken. So, for instance, I've seen the reports in the past week, to give you an example, Ken, the Amazons, the Walmarts, all of these big conglomerates, their revenues are rising. They're having like really record-breaking revenues. I mean, it's off the charts. And yet everybody else is sucking wind because they can't even make the payroll and they can't pay the rent and they can't do simple things. And that's pretty sad that that's happening. That's come all under the guise of COVID and lockdowns from a lot of these Marxist mayors and politicians I rail against every day, very much clearly here. But this goes further than this. So the database itself now, shoptotheright.com. So you go there, you can do a free listing. So in other words, you can list your business.
Just to list the company is free.
So hopefully this could be a model that could create quite an interesting organization, especially as your database spreads out from coast to coast. I mean, this could be a big, big endeavor, Alan, yeah?
I definitely agree. Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity. There's been other platforms in the past that have supported either certain sectors of the market or certain different groups. And again, we're not trying to fundamentally change the way people shop or ask them to shop in a specific store or
exactly
spend more money. We are just trying to build up this e-commerce community to be as convenient and competitive as any other platform. But when people are shopping there, they're going to be supporting small businesses, veterans,
I love it,
and Americans that love this country and are willing to fight to keep it free.
Could really be the great equalizer. I will put that out there right now with you guys. This thing could be the great equalizer in so many ways. Ken, last thought from you here. When you initially had the seed of the idea and you got the group of guys together up there to make this thing happen, which you've just built out, you've just launched the site, shoptotheright.com. So this is brand new. It's a brand new program and launch for America to bite into and to help. When you first did it, was it to solve the problem? I mean, there's obviously opportunity to grow this thing, but was it the idea that you could make a lot of money with this thing? Or was it to solve the problem of what we've just spoke about with these large businesses and trying to, well, the great equalizer again, Ken?
As a libertarian, I don't think one should necessarily be shopping based on political views. I do, again, repeat that we've reached a point in this country where if we don't stand up, we're going to be pushed down. And the purpose of this site is to equalize the playing field by allowing access to the non-conglomerate companies that are not huge, who do support America, the mom and pop businesses of America, to hopefully take a bite out of the globalist companies, if you will.
If we don't start to do certain things in this country, the thing you have to ask yourself of what is what's going to be left. You know, we talk about trying to leave a country that's here for future generations. What's going to be left? So we're almost being forced, you know, between both of these things, between the COVID and the restrictions there, and between a lot of these big companies and organizations selling us out, not only selling to the global people overseas, but to these Marxist groups and these organizations that do not have our best interest at heart at all. This is going to be the time for all Americans are going to have to look deeply into their own souls and speak to what it is with that almighty dollar. They always say money talks, right? Say follow the money. Always about follow the money. Well, listen, in part two of this, Michael Johns will be with us there on this part of the program. We'll talk about how we're also selling out to across globally here. Again, back to the globalist unit, but China specifically. That has decimated our great country in more ways than I could admit right at this moment. But you know that exactly as well. The sellout of America is in full daylight now. And this is why we're doing this two-part program here, the selling out of America. And I'm suggesting to all Americans that it is time, past time, that we follow the money ourselves. Don't let the politicians do it. We need to do it starting now. So that's my message right out here, people. And we'll see it. We'll pick up part two here on the next day here. Thank you again, as always, for being part of the journey. It's time to get involved and get loud.